From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. It's Friday, March 29th. And yes, I did say at the end of yesterday's episode that I would be off today, but I just wanted to see if you were paying attention. Which is to say, I lost track of which day was which, so I hope you'll accept this apology for my unintentional misdirection, along with today's headlines. A bill that would make major changes to Act 250 appears likely to head to the Senate after surviving a marathon debate on the House floor this week. The legislation would relax the reach of Vermont's half-century-old land use law in some cities and towns, allowing new development to proceed without triggering review. It also directs a process for mapping out new critical natural resource areas or places deemed so ecologically sensitive that putting a shovel in the ground would trigger Act 250. Representative Seth Bongartz, who co-sponsored the bill, says it strikes the right balance between promoting compact housing development and protecting Vermont's ecosystems.
This bill doesn't solve the housing crisis, but just like the regulatory relief bills we've passed over the course of the last couple of years in particular, it will make a real difference.
Critics of the bill, including Governor Phil Scott, say it introduces new bureaucratic hurdles to build housing and would be particularly detrimental to housing growth in rural areas. Scott said earlier this week the Act 250 exemptions in the bill would not kick in for several years, doing little to address the housing shortage now. The Vermont House passed legislation Wednesday that would indefinitely pause the state's PCB testing program. State lawmakers passed the first-in-the-nation mandate for pre-K through 12 schools to test for probable carcinogens in 2021 and set millions aside for the effort. 2 years later, lawmakers also promised the state, not schools, would pick up the entire tab for remediation. But the majority of the money earmarked for the program is already spent, with over half of all schools still left to test for PCBs. House lawmakers like Representative Peter Conlin say the program should be put on hiatus until more money is available.
Why continue testing when there is no plan to fund our obligation under Act 78 of 2023 to not let this turn into a massive unfunded mandate on property taxpayers, since ultimately school districts would have to cover the cost of remediation if no other state dollars are available?
The legislation heads next to the Senate. Two Vermont State Police troopers accused of using excessive force will have their criminal case transferred to diversion, a confidential process that can lead to the charges being dismissed and the case records sealed. In a press release yesterday, Attorney General Charity Clark said her office, which filed the charges, reached an agreement with the troopers to move their case to diversion. VSP Sergeant Ryan Wood and Trooper Zachary Trockey were each charged with reckless endangerment, a misdemeanor that carries a maximum prison sentence of 1 year. The charges stemmed from an incident where a 61-year-old man fell off a 15-foot roof after Trockey fired a beanbag round at him. The trooper's attorney, David Slay, said in a statement Thursday that the troopers saw diversion as a, quote, chance for personal growth and improvement. A local college professor is trying to visit as many of Vermont's 187 public libraries as she can during her sabbatical. Hannah Miller of Morrisville is an education professor at Vermont State University's Johnson campus. Yesterday on Vermont Edition, Miller said she's visited 40 libraries so far.
One of my favorite moments was when I got to go to the Barton Library, and I was in a knitting group, and they bring snacks, and they knit, and they listen to an Agatha Christie mystery while they knit. Just this week at the Shelburne Library, I got to listen to a wizard read the first chapter of The Hobbit. You know, you never know what is going to happen.
Miller says she's also trying to draw attention to the work librarians do to support community members who need access to shelter, bathrooms, internet, and social services. The Swanton Village Fire Department has been gifted a new Argo Frontier 700 8x8. Obviously, everyone knows what that is, but just in case you somehow don't, it's an amphibious vehicle used to assist with rescue efforts. The department says the vehicle will be used to help with ice rescues on Lake Champlain, as well as responses on trails and wooded areas. The gift was made possible by financial assistance from the nonprofit Star Hose Company and TDI Towing and Recovery, that according to NBC5. Officials say Swanton Village firefighters will begin training on the vehicle immediately, and the department is allowing the public to come see it at their First Street station on the evening of Monday, April 15th. Coming up, you might have big plans for the total solar eclipse, but probably not as momentous as the couple will meet right after this.
Thanks for tuning in to The Frequency, and thanks to Vida for their support. Vida, celebrating 50 years of helping Vermont businesses grow and thrive. From agriculture to energy, startups to established companies, find solutions that fit your business. Visit VEDA.org to start your next chapter.
With about a week to go, many Vermonters have made or are finalizing their plans for the total solar eclipse on April 8th. But one Craftsbury couple has had this date in sight for years for their wedding. Vermont Public's Elodie Reed has the story.
So this is Annie Dillard's essay, Total Eclipse, from 1982. Seeing a partial eclipse bears the same relation to seeing a total eclipse as kissing a man does to marrying him.
So why not see a total eclipse and marry a man on the same day? That's exactly what Lee Falzone is doing.
Quite honestly, we may never have gotten married if this darn eclipse wasn't coming over Vermont.
Lee and her partner, Chris, met as young lifeguards 17 years ago. Now ages 34 and 39, Lee says they're typically anti-traditional and never felt the need to have a wedding celebration.
Bought a house together first. I proposed to him a few years ago. We had a baby 2 years ago.
But then Lee says there was that 2017 partial eclipse here in Vermont.
I watched it in the Tractor Supply parking lot. I bought an $85 welding helmet.
She says it was, in all honesty, a little lackluster. But all the hype about the total eclipse that year drew her in. She went down an internet rabbit hole, watching people watching totality.
It was like these YouTube videos of this incredible joy and like ecstasy that these people were in for 2 minutes with no drugs and alcohol, ? You know, that was most moving. I remember not expecting to hear this like childlike giddiness from these grown people just standing outside.
Lee says she wanted to have that experience too. So she researched the next time Vermont would see totality and found out she only had to wait another 7 years until 2024.
I mean, it's a commitment.
This is Hannah Shoup, who lives in Elmore and has been friends with the Falzones for more than a decade.
I mean, I can remember like talking about this like 4 years ago with them and her just saying they were going to get married on this date.
And Lee, she's going all in.
Some decor with sun and moon and some twinkly gold lights. We purchased a ring and it's a bunch of black diamonds, little black diamonds that look like mini total solar eclipses. The name of the wedding, my husband's last name is Falzone, and so the name of the wedding is Falzone of Totality.
There's the dress, which we'll be vague about so we don't spoil the surprise for Chris, the groom.
Definitely kind of showcases the gold total solar eclipse theme that we got going on.
And of course, the playlist.
It's called Totality. The very first song is Bad Moon Rising. Right? Total eclipse of the heart? Come on.
Even the food. The Falzones plan to have 100 sugar cookies covered in various amounts of chocolate, made to look like the phases of an eclipse.
The question was like, can we do it all? And I think for this particular order, we were like, yes, we need to do this. We want to make this happen.
This is Tobin Porter Brown, the owner of the Hardwick Cafe Front Seat Coffee. He says the Falzone's wedding dessert order is one of several special eclipse-themed bakes they have planned for April 8th.
I don't know yet if we're going to be doing different stages of the moon or just sort of like the totality of in macaron form.
All of these preparations for the eclipse, and in the case of the Falzones, for their wedding, they're all in anticipation of this rare window where the moon perfectly obscures the sun. Thousands of people are expected to visit Vermont to collectively witness this event. And it's that kind of togetherness with family, friends, and her partner Chris that Lee Falzone says should heighten the whole experience.
I think there's an energy that comes with large groups. the oohs and ahs of the crowd. You kind of feed on that.
As it gets dark in the middle of the day, and as the temperature drops, and maybe, as Annie Dillard describes in her essay, people start screaming, Lee says she hopes it feels like the man in a highly viewed YouTube video. It's called Yosemite Bear Mountain Double Rainbow 1810.
Double rainbow all the way across the sky. Oh my God. What does this mean?
Oh. Oh, I love it so much. It moves me to tears.
Oh. It's so intense.
So good. And it clearly just completely took over his psyche. And he had nothing but pure pleasure in this simple moment, what could be considered a simple moment. So it's like the dichotomy of overwhelming joy and simplicity. I don't know. It's almost unexplainable. But it's worth finding. It's worth being a totality seeker.
And for the Falzones, it's worth planning a wedding for. For Vermont Public, I'm Elodie Reed.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Carly Berlin, Lola Dufour, Michaela Lafrac, and Nathaniel Wilson. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelin, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Mitch Wertlieb, and I am, for real this time, taking a break for the next couple of episodes, so I'll talk to you next week.
Every episode of Brave Little State begins with a question about Vermont that's been submitted and voted on by listeners like you. What happened to all the restaurant workers? What's the deal with Vermont's fire towers? Why do people like the band Phish? Follow Brave Little State wherever you get podcasts. From Vermont Public, part of the NPR network.